Bless you. Please be seated. Well, I ended the teaching last week with let's go dancing. Did you guys dance last week? We literally went dancing last night at Bertie's great party, and it was so much fun. But this whole week, it just has felt like stepping up to a new level and really seeing the power of God start coming to pass in our lives. So I'm so blessed to be able to continue on today and do a little review about what we talked about for those of you who weren't able to be here last week. But I encourage you to get the tape so you get the foundation of talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new, because I'm not going to really go over that again today. But what we are going to do today is talk about the armor of God, and particularly one piece of the armor of God called the shield of faith. So, today, as you see, I got pretty dressed up. I don't normally get this dressed up, okay? Not even, you know, for teachings and things. But today I decided that I needed to practice something physical to do what I had been talking about in my mind. So this morning I got up and I said, all right, to put on the new man, you need to really think through what you're going to do, all the little pieces. So, as you will see throughout the teaching, I wore some things particularly to point out something. And first of all, the thing that I wanted to point out is, you see this dress? Oh, it's a skirt. Oh, it's a skirt. Okay. I'm a woman, right? And so because I'm a woman, I get to wear skirts once in a while, anyways. And, you know, skirts are kind of frilly and see how it kind of moves and stuff like that. Well, you know, that's my outside man, right? Is that I'm a woman, I'm certain age, I have hair like this, I have blue eyes, right? Well, that's my outside man. But what I really wanted to do was I wanted to say that despite being a girl wearing a dress, I have the full power of Jesus Christ and my inner man on the inside. So as I was putting on this dress, I was thinking, well, the outside is kind of frail and fragile, and it's a girl, for Pete's sake. But man, I have got the power of Christ in me, and that gives me the right and the authority to stand up in his name and to preach the gospel. So, here we go. All right, turn to Romans 13. This is just a little review. Romans 13 and verse 12. Last week we were talking about how you have to strip off the old man. And it's in our minds that we do this stripping off. And then we put on very carefully the new man. That's what it's talking about here in Romans 13. It says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting. Oh, we have to go to 12. Yeah. 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Cast off is the same word as put off. Strip off. You just cast it off like it was dirty clothes. And you put very carefully on, what does it say? The armor of light. Okay, God is light, right? Okay, so you could also say put on the armor of God. Now later on, verse 14, it says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So these are equal. You have put on the armor of light, put on the armor of God, put on the new man, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, last week we talked about all those words and what they mean, and you'll have to go listen to the tape. But now go to Ephesians chapter 6, because this is what we're going to get into today. I was so excited about this teaching, I was like, I have to calm down a little bit in order to be able to really say it. I usually don't have my heart pounding quite so much. Verse 10, chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the what?
Lord.
Okay, when we talked about Lord, the word Lord last week, Lord means boss, master, the one in charge. He's the head of the body, right? He's Lord. He is Lord. When God raised him from the dead, he made him Lord. Okay, so this whole section here is talking about how you can be strong in his authority. And the next phrase says, and in the power of his might. Now, this is a very, very interesting phrase here. The word power of his might, there, the word power, it can be translated immensity. It's like in Hebrew, there is a companion word to the Aramaic, and so you can go back to the Old Testament and you can look and see what the Hebrew word is talking about. And this Hebrew word in the Old Testament is translated authority, prevailing, overcoming. Like a huge rock, you know? If you had a gigantic mountain, that would be what you would call immense. You'd be staring up at the mountain. Right? You would have this very strong vocabulary to explain the sheer rock face, for example. And that's what it's saying. It's not just, oh, there's a little bit of power. It's immense power. It's overcoming power. It's prevailing power. It's authority power. And then it's of his might, of his strength. And that's the word dunamis there in Greek. So there is an immense prevailing authority to strength, to his strength. And that's what we're to be strong in. We're to be strong in the might of his power. Now go flip, hold your finger there. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. This exact phrase repeats itself in here. And it's really wonderful. In verse 19, this is during the prayer where Paul is saying that he wants us to have the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we would know the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance, and the saints. And then 19 goes, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now, his mighty power is the same word as power of his might that was in Ephesians 6:10. His, according to the working or the energizing of his prevailing, overcoming, authoritative power. See? That's what God wants us to know. He wants us to be able to walk in this. This is not just a really wonderful little picture of a soldier with a hat and the armor and all that stuff. It's just not a picture. It is about everything that we are in Christ and the entire power base that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. And it is immense. It is something that we should just desire with all of our hearts to know more and more and more about, because go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God so that, or that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the purpose of this armor, is so we can stand against all the wiles, the devices, the tricks, the tactics of the adversary. And he's got quite a few of them, you know. Go think about John 10:10. Thief comes not but for to steal, kill, destroy. That pretty much covers it. That's his main focus all the time. What can I steal from you? How can I destroy you? And he's constantly working on it. He doesn't have any problem thinking about what his authority is. See? He just takes it. And he goes, okay, this is my job. Here I'm going. And with this armor on, though, and really understanding what we have in the new man and what the Lord Jesus Christ is in us and how to use it, that's the key, how to use it, then we can stand against any one of his tactics. It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter one bit. We can stand against it. Now it goes on, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. See that word against? It's repeated four times there. Against, 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 against. That's the part we're supposed to get out of that. Is we don't, our struggle is not with flesh and blood, it's not with people, but it's against. It's against. It's against. But keep going. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, this doesn't really totally communicate it in the King James. It's against all those spiritual stuff, right? Take to you the whole armor of God. How much of the armor of God? Oh, you mean I can leave? I don't like that breastplate thing. I'm going to leave that one aside. No. I don't really understand what the shield of faith is. Then learn, right? You know? Because this verse says to be able to withstand in the evil day means to meet or encounter the evil one and to be prepared in everything, you will stand firm. That you may be able to meet or encounter the evil one, and being prepared in everything, you may stand firm. We're going to meet the evil one. That's his job. But if we are prepared with this armor and we really know how to use it, then we will be able to stand firm. See, so it's not so much like withstanding that it doesn't communicate. How are you supposed to withstand something that's a spiritual entity? So, but if you encounter or you meet or you engage where there is a situation and the evil one, that's his real name, is the evil one, is trying to take his devices and tactics and trick you or attack you in some form or another, because we have on the armor of God, we will be prepared in everything and we'll be able to stand firm. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. The next word, which is also a figure of speech, see, having done all to stand, being prepared in everything, you will stand. And then the next word is also stand. So you will be prepared in everything to stand. Stand, therefore. See? Just do it. Just throw your shoulders back. Put your head up high. Look out. Here comes the Son of God with all power. Stand, therefore. And then it goes through the pieces of the armor, which, of course, we can't do all of them. But what I wanted to talk about is the shield of faith, because you got to jump down to verse 16. Now, each one of these pieces of the armor is really crucial. And I say it again, okay? It is crucial to being prepared and fully prepared. And we just always have to keep on remembering the whole armor is the gift rack package of all the power of Christ in us. And it makes us be able to be ready at all times. Each piece is crucial to understand, okay? And if we don't understand them, then we need to like study it and work on it and figure out what it is and help each other too to figure out how to use this and how this is a practical application of everything that we are in Christ. Because remember last week I was talking about it's not enough to just say, oh yeah, I have a new man. Isn't he great? He's on the inside. I got to put him on in my mind, but the whole point is living it and demonstrating the Spirit with power. So the shield of faith. Let's read verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked here is also the same phrase, the evil one. All right? Go over to Psalm, hold your finger there. Go over to Psalm 144. A shield, first we have to understand what shield is. And a shield is something that protects. It protects the body. Psalm 144 and verse 1. It says, blessed be the Lord, my strength. That's the word rock there. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. When I think about the term rock, how God is a rock, he's like that immense mountain I was talking about. But this mountain has these overhanging rocks, okay? And this particular word, trust, means to flee for refuge. When I say that the Lord is my rock, I have this picture that I flee and I go under one of those huge overhanging cliffs. I just go right under it and I sit there. And I know that I'm going to be sheltered. There's lots of beautiful illustrations in the Old Testament. You know, we are under the shadow of his wings. Katie was talking about that. But this picture about a rock and he's a fortress, anytime you have any need at all, you can go flee for refuge and trust in that strength, in the rock strength. And you just go under there. And then he becomes a shield. It's like a shield to us. Now go to Genesis chapter 15. Because this is the first place that the word shield is used. And it's talking about Abraham. And it was after Abraham had come into the land of Canaan, and God had made all these wonderful promises to him. In verse 1 of chapter 15, though, he reveals himself as the shield. And he says to Abraham, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And then Abram goes, but wait a minute. You promised me a son, and I don't have anybody who's from my own loins except for my heir is this Eliezer, who's my steward. You know, what about this? In the face of an almost impossible situation, Abraham did not have a son yet. And it was impossible. Sarah was already old. Her womb was already barren, you know. It just did not look on the senses surface that this promise could ever come to pass. This is the place where God says, I am your shield. And a shield then, so we get the idea, see, that a shield is something that protects you, but it protects you in a seemingly impossible situation. It's not just a little shield either, okay? Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. This shield that it's talking about here in Ephesians 6, it says, take the shield of faith, right? It's a full body shield. They had other kinds of shields. One of them was sort of round, and that's the normal term that in the Old Testament they translate buckler. I am your shield and buckler. The buckler was the round shield, and it was a lot easier to move around. And so it for close combat, you needed that little shield too. But this full body shield was what the Roman soldiers had to quench the fiery arrows. See, when the enemies, they would take arrows, they'd light it on fire, and then they'd go in a big line and they'd shoot the arrows over the enemies, into the enemy's territory. The primary purpose of the fiery arrows was to confuse the enemy, to get them to stop being in a line, you know, to not work together, to have all these things happen even prior to the battle. So this full body shield, what it had on it, it was rounded. So it was like round like this. It stood almost 6 feet tall and about 3 feet wide. It was made out of leather and layers of leather, really tough like bull hide. And so it was very impenetrable on the outside, even for a sword to get in, right? And then they would put fireproofing material all along the inside of it. So if an arrow with fire did come, it would be immediately quenched. It wouldn't do anything as long as you had your shield up. Okay, and this shield was carried like on your arm, like this. And so it was rounded. You have to picture it rounded. So it really covers over your body because of it being rounded. You see? Was it flat? Like, I always had this picture of it being flat. And it's like, well, the arrow could come in this way or this way. But if it was rounded, you see, and you were holding it like this, then you could turn really quickly to either side, and it would block the arrow. No matter what direction it was coming in, it would block the arrow, right? This shield, now, remember also last week we were talking about how it's Christ in you, plural, right? Okay, well, you know, I'm one soldier, and I got my shield, okay, and I can block a lot of fiery arrows that way, you see? But what happens if I'm standing next to my fellow soldier, and they've got their shield up, and they're blocking? See, then I'm protected on other sides as well that I can't necessarily get to really quickly. Oh, the arrow's coming over here. But my neighbor over here, he can have his shield up, and he can block that arrow over there, which I didn't maybe even see coming. You see? So you start multiplying that, and we all start standing together with our shields up. It's completely impenetrable. Now also picture the fiery arrows raining down, right? So a lot of times the way the Roman soldiers would work is they would go close together, and then they would also have people on the next row in the back, and those people would hold the shields up on top. So the fiery arrows are raining down that way. The guy in the front, the ones in the front, you know, they're blocking the arrows coming this way. The ones in the next row back are blocking the ones that are coming up high. Those in back of them are blocking other arrows coming back. So you see, if we work together and hold our shields up together, then it becomes a very powerful force against the adversary. Being prepared in everything, we can stand firm. Sometimes, you know, I mean, you know in your own life, things have come in and feel like a fire. Oops, sorry. Feel like a fiery arrow, right? Well, the point of this is to learn to know what is the shield of faith. And I've read many, many commentaries and books on this whole section, and almost all of them say that this faith is our faith. And it can't be. Because of everything that I've taught about so far, is the new man, is the armor of Christ. It's everything we are in Christ. It can't be my faith. My faith is like, it's puny. I don't have any faith. When it really comes down to fiery arrows coming at me, I don't have any faith to speak of. And if we get honest, we'll all agree to that, right? We just don't have it. But, that's a big but. We have the faith of Christ. We have his faith. And now here, this faith is representing what you have faith in and how to use it. And so I want you to go back to Acts chapter 3, to the record that we read, walking and leaping and praising God, about the man at the temple gate, beautiful. Because when Peter and John were there, they said, look on us, and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man walked, right? Look at verse 16. When they were called, Peter was doing this sermon, and he says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. In Aramaic it says, and the faith of his name has made you strong. Now the word, when you say name, then it's everything that person has. And I want to talk a little bit about name and how to understand what this name is. We have to look at one more verse here, chapter 4. Because when they're standing up in front of the high priest and all the rulers, this is what they say there too, in verse 7. The rulers are asking him, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what authority, or by what name have you done this? So it's equating it. See, the name equals the authority of the person. And Peter answers, then verse 8, Peter says, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made known, if he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. He was so bold. Peter was so bold. He just told it exactly like it was. He said the reason the man got healed is because of the name. It was the name of Jesus Christ. That's where the authority was. It wasn't in Peter's own faith. It wasn't in his own words even. It was nothing about that. It was him walking out and living what he knew he had inside. I got to tell you a story of when I first learned about using the name of Jesus Christ. I was in Germany, and I was in the WOW Ambassador program in Germany, and it was an outreach program, and we were endeavoring to hold forth the word and run classes, and it was a great year. It was a wonderful year. Just many, many miracles and things I learned about walking with God that have held me instead for the rest of my life. But I had taken at a class on walking by the Spirit before I went to Germany. And I was pretty young in it. I didn't know much of anything. I mean, I knew I had power, but I didn't really know how to use it at all. Anyway, we did a job, and we were delivering newspapers. We had to deliver newspapers at night on this route. And I had a bicycle, and I put my newspapers on the bicycle, and then I had to go down all these different streets. And in Germany, you can't just throw the newspaper out on the lawn. You had to actually go to the person's mailbox and put the newspaper in the mailbox. So that meant, you know, getting on and off your bike all the time, because, you know, here's the bike, and then you take the newspaper and you go park the bike, go walk over and put it in the mailbox. There was this one street. I just hated this street. Oh, it was awful. It was really, really dark. And I got the worst feeling every time I just turned my bicycle to go into this street. And the newspaper I had to deliver was at the very end of the street. So for the first couple months even, I'm like gritting my teeth and going, okay, I can do this. And I tried to do it as fast as possible. I'd ride the bike in there really quickly, park it really fast, dump the newspaper in there, and run back out of it and go, oh, phew, I made it through there. Finally, I started realizing, you know, there is something spiritual here. And this thing is trying to get me and make me to be really afraid. And all of a sudden, it just dawned on me. It's like, oh. There's a spirit of fear that lives in this alley, in this street. And so I said, okay, I'm going to just try this thing out about using the name of Jesus Christ. So the next night that I went there, I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you can't do anything to hurt me. It was totally calm. And I was in shock. I was just like, wow, that was so wonderful. That was really great. Now, every time I went to deliver that newspaper, I had to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you stop having any power in this particular street. You know, because I couldn't control what it was doing the rest of the time. But from that moment on, I did not have any fear about going down that street. Fear is one of the fiery darts, right? Confusion is one of the fiery darts. Sickness is one of the fiery darts. Broken relationships are one of the fiery darts. Remember, we talked about steal, kill, and destroy, right? So you think of all those things. Romans 8 lists the whole thing. Tribulation, persecution, whatever you can think of to try to steal our joy, steal our victory, that's the fiery darts. And all we have to do is take that shield and go, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop! And it quenches the fiery dart. Every time. Absolutely every time. When we know what our authority is. And we're standing on our authority, we live it, and we invoke all of the power that is behind that name. So let's see a little bit about the name. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. It's where we were reading before about the working of his mighty power. So go on in verse 20. This mighty power, this overcoming, prevailing, authoritative power, God wrought in Christ, verse 20, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Does that leave anything out? No. This name that we have been given the right to use is the highest name in the entire universe. If I worked for Bill Gates, for example, and I was his right-hand president, vice president, and I went into a meeting and I said, this is what we need to do. Bill Gates says this is what we need to do. Everybody would be just like, sure, yeah, right, here we go. Even working for the boss that I have, if I call up somebody on the phone and I say, I'm calling for Kurt Rose and I need you to do blah, 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 they do it. Because I'm saying the name of someone who has a higher authority than I have. So we use this principle, we just didn't really understand how to apply it spiritually. We have the right to use the highest name in the entire universe. It's the name that is above every name. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Some of this stuff is just, I mean, it's so awesome. God gave us the right to use Jesus Christ's name and all of his power. That's astounding. That is something that we should just like get up in the morning and be jumping up and down going, I can't believe I have another day to try to do this. I want to learn more. I want to learn more every day how to walk in this kind of power. I want to see signs, miracles, and wonders happen like Jesus Christ did when he walked on the earth. People flocked to him. It says he healed every one, every single one. That's the same power we have. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore, God has also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. See, I told you, it was above every name. That, the purpose is, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And, this is another purpose, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Be strong in the Lord, right? When we do this and we use the authority in the shield of faith that we've been given, not only does it quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, so who cares about him? What we want to have is glory go to our Father and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord. There is no problem. There is no situation. There's no health situation. There's nothing that he cannot handle because it's a name above every name. We just like get that in there. Okay, go back to Acts chapter 4 again. I don't know about you, but I am going to like continue to work on this, just really changing my perspective. I have believed in healing for years and years and years. I've seen healings. I've seen much deliverance. I've also seen people not delivered. And I want to know why. I want to be able to have it happen more and more and more, so that when my shadow goes across someone, they just get healed just like that. We can see that again. When we had the women's meeting the other day, we read a record about Aeneas. It was a man who had been sick of the palsy for 8 years. And all Peter said to him was, "Jesus Christ makes you whole. Rise up and walk." And he got up. I spent a lot of years studying about deliverance, going and, you know, taking seminars and trying to understand this whole field of healing, especially. And, you know, I learned a lot of really, really wonderful things, there's no doubt. But this whole idea of how you have to go up to somebody and go, "Okay, now I need to get this really heavy revelation here. I speak to your liver. Liver, in the name of Jesus Christ, you be whole." You know, where you have to get a picture, you have to go through a whole rigmarole of stuff. You never see Jesus Christ do that. You don't see Peter do that. You don't see Paul do that. All they did was they walked in the authority that God had given them, and everywhere they went, there were signs, miracles, and wonders. And they didn't make a big deal about it. It's not about me. It's about him. And if we walk in the authority that he gave us and use his name and walk by the Spirit, you know, we got all the rest of the pieces of the armor to talk about. There isn't anything that we can't stand against. See, we will be prepared in everything, and so no matter what the situation is, we'll be able to stand firm. The reason I wore black, a black shirt today, and Lydia knows this because she's going to be going to law school. When in the legal field, if you cite an authority, like a previous ruling that a judge made in a case, and you cite that, it's called an authority. And I wear black because, see, I want to stand for the legal authority that God has given me in Christ. And black just seemed to me to represent that today. See, I told you, see, I'm a frail woman, but I have the whole power of Christ in me inside. So don't look at my outside. Don't look at the frail part of the physical being that is there. But look at the greatness of God's word and see that we have the same thing. It doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. We can cite the greatest authority, the greatest name that there ever was, and stand on that and say, "In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed." That's exactly what they did in the beginning of Acts. And this is what happened. Acts chapter 4. Peter does this great sermon. He tells them, you know, it was by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When they get all back to where they were staying, in verse 26, well, actually before that, verse 23, it says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." So they're praising God for what had happened. That's another really big key. "Who by the mouth of the servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the" what? Lord. The kings of the earth and the rulers of this earth think that they can stand against the Lord. They cannot stand against him. "And against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus," in Aramaic it says son, It's really Son. Against thy holy Son, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. He goes, this is part of this prayer. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. This is what I want to pray. On and on and on, this coming weeks, just to have more boldness, to have more, to take charge more, to just take every opportunity that I can see in front of me to use the name of Jesus Christ and to stand on this that we have been given. It can be all of our prayers to have more boldness. And what will happen when we pray for more boldness to speak the word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Son, Jesus. Jesus is the deliverer. We can bring deliverance wherever we go. And if we do this, where we take our shields, like I was describing, and we stand shoulder to shoulder next to one another, we hold up that shield, and some others are holding up the ones up above, and some other ones are holding it in the back, and we move our bodies together in unity, and we use the name of Jesus Christ as a group, there is no fiery dart that can get in. If I'm only one person and I've got my shield, I can do a lot of things. I can quench some stuff, but I might get hit from the other side. So if we stand together, we pray this prayer like the early Christians did, and ask for more boldness. Ask God to stretch out his hand and walk out on that authority that we've been given, then we're going to see those signs and miracles and wonders following us. We're going to have people just come and ask, what have you got? What's going on in your life? I need to know. I want to come. I want to learn. And we'll be able to tell them and give all the glory to our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. So what I wanted to do tonight, today, to end, is to just have Barney come up, and I want to close with prayer. And it said in Acts, I didn't even actually get to read it, but the place was shaken after they did this prayer. The place was shaken because of the power that went out. The man who had gotten healed was more than 40 years old, and he had never walked. And there was so much excitement about that healing that they were just broadcasting it everywhere. And when they came back together, their biggest prayer was, give us more boldness so we can do it some more. So that's what I wanted to pray to end today, is to just go ahead and really pray this prayer. So, Father, dear, dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we do praise you. We thank you that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you are so awesome and so loving and so tender and have been also faithful to us for many, 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 many years. You sent your Son to die for us and to pay the price so that we could have redemption and we could have healing and we could have all of these great things. And then on the day of Pentecost, you also sent your gift, just that perfectly beautiful gift wrap package of everything that Christ was and all the power and authority that you had given to him, Father, you've given to us. And somehow that just, it's so humbling that it's not of us. And it's not anything that we deserved. It's not anything that we ever did to even get it. But deep down in the bottom of our hearts, Father, we are just so thankful that you have allowed us this privilege. And right now, we see the fiery darts that have come even among us that try to attack the situations of health and of needs that are there. And Father, as we have seen, there is nothing that is above the name of Jesus Christ. It looks like a threatening, but it's not, because of having to bow to the authority and power of everything that Christ is. So right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just command that any kind of sickness, fear, hurt, or any of those sort of fiery darts, Father, be completely extinguished in the name of Jesus Christ. And right now, we pray as a group for more boldness to speak out your word, for more determination than we ever have had before this day, to walk out and to claim the things that you have given to us, and to stand as your representatives, and to know that you back up your word. And we pray, Father, to see more signs, miracles, and wonders. And we pray that we can see deliverance everywhere we go. And Father, we make a commitment right now, too, to stand with each other and to hold our shields up together and to not let anything come in on the side to sidewind us. We just ask that you will show us how to do that more and more and more and more. In the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hey, why don't you guys stand up and we'll kind of interlock maybe arms. Get your shields up there with your fellow believers. We're talking about